It's a bummer to be talking to nobody in the studio, so I'm glad you're back. Well, this has been All the Geets. This is 91.5 FM WMFO, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in.
All right. Hello and welcome to the inaugural episode of JumboCast Radio. We're JumboCast. My name's Charlie Driver. I'm sort of auxiliary board, I suppose. I'm the soundboard member. But we are the sort of sports broadcasting group at Tufts, and we're trying to expand our domain into the realm of audio. And for more on that, Alec Whipple, our GM, is going to just tell you a little bit about that.
All right, thanks, Charlie. Welcome, everyone. I'm Alec, GM of JumboCast, and I thank you for listening. It's really exciting. I just wanted to give you a little introduction about who we are, what we do, and what we plan to be bringing to you every other Friday from 3 to 4. So we are Tufts Sports Broadcasting Club. You might have seen us at some of the baseball, basketball, football games, the kids who you might know from class with their cameras talking into mics, and you think no one's ever hearing them. What are they doing? But we actually, people do hear us. We broadcast our games on YouTube, streamed live. So lots of parents watch the games, students who can't make the games watch, and certainly for postseason games that we do. Alumni and faculty like to tune in and support their Jumbos. And we've been really fortunate recently. Tufts has had a pretty recent stretch of national championship level teams. So we've got to cover some pretty exciting games and teams. So the program started years ago before YouTube on a TriCaster back in the day. I still have the archives of CDs burned with old basketball games, old football games. But so we've moved into the digital age. We have our own YouTube channel, and we've adapted to the times. So what we do is we go to the games, athletics will provide a link, and we will broadcast, and we have our own guys who know sports or interested in sports doing commentating. So in the fall, we do football, soccer, field hockey, volleyball. In the postseason, we've covered up to Elite Eight soccer games. Very exciting, always a great crowd there. In the winter, we cover Tufts' very own basketball teams, men's and women's, both with a recent history of success. And we've covered such exciting games as the Tufts-Amherst Elite Eight Showdown a few years back in Cousins. Definitely the best atmosphere I've seen for a Tufts game around here. And we've had sideline reporters and third cameras giving you the best action with replay cuts. So we're really trying to make the experience feel professional and get the crowd as excited from afar as we are there. And then the spring, we cover baseball and softball. So basically, you know, your run-of-the-mill tough sports, but the athletes here make it so exciting to follow them and cover them from afar. And the cool thing about Tufts as a D3 school is we are in class with these athletes. We're friends with them. We have kind of unlimited access to them. So kind of transitioning here, a little bit of what we envision for this radio show is the ability to be able to use our connections to bring on athletes for maybe pre-recorded or live interviews. So the people get to hear a little bit about the star baseball, football, basketball players are doing. We also envision just a time for tough sports recaps. We have people here. You know, the great thing about JumboCast is there's always someone who's passionate about every single sport. So we don't all know every sport, but we can find someone to go in depth on any sport and give you, you know, your Mike Francesa, Michael Kay, Felger and Maz level analysis over, you know, we hope to be at that level over the radio. Maybe without some of the yelling, but hopefully with all the insight. And just a chance to talk, you know, to each other, maybe about pro sports too. We haven't really set in stone exactly what we're going to do for everything, but the main point of what we're trying to do is just another way for you guys to hear what we do. We'll talk about our experience covering the games, and then you guys to hear about what your peers do or the Tufts athletes do. Things you might not have thought about, analysis if you weren't watching the game on our coverage, we might give you some highlights from that, just so you can get a better idea of tough sports in general. And like I said, we're super excited to be here to give you that analysis. And this just a brief recap of what we've been doing this fall. Starting the show is very exciting for us. We also are working on football and volleyball broadcasts for homecoming in the weeks after. And also starting an alumni organization for JumboCast. So trying to get, maybe we'll bring some alumni into the booth, trying to give you the best flavor of what we've been doing for the past few years. And yeah, that pretty much sums it up. And as always, you can reach us at Twitter, Facebook, email. There should be, if you go to www.jumbocast.com, then you'll be able to access all that information to contact us anyway.
You can probably just type us in into your Google search, and you'll track us down. It can't be too hard.
So we always love hearing from you. If there's enough interest, we could do some kind of mailbag type segment.
Yeah, and also feel free, within this hour or any hour that we're on air, you can give us a call here at the studio. Our line is 855-915-9636. 855-915-9636. Hoping to hear from you. All right, should we just jump into some sports talk? That is what we're here for, after all.
Yeah, I think Owen over here wanted to start off with volleyball, so we'll let him talk about that and how they've been doing.
Before we do that, though, let's just take a step back and introduce everyone in the room. We got a whole packed group here. Three people on with their own mic, and then we have a sort of Renette situation going on with Brad and Ethan over there.
Ethan and I are sharing mics.
Let's start over with you two. You want to just sort of give your name and like what sort of thing you do?
You two over there.
All right, sure. Hi.
If you could do it in harmony, that would be great.
We're going to do it one at a time. No, my name is Brad Burchussell. I've been on JumboCast for my entire 4 years at Tufts. I'm a senior here now, and I do all sorts of sports, so a lot of commentating and directing. I also cover football and along with other sports for the Tufts Daily. So, I'm excited to be here.
What sports do you like, Brad?
Oh, lots of all of
what
them,
teams do you like?
Check out this casual
conversation. I'm wearing a Yankees shirt, so the Mike Francesa guy over here is asking me to plug that in. But I'm a big New York sports fan, so sorry.
If there's a Yankees Red Sox ALDS, you can bet we'll be having some conversation about it.
But there won't be. For sure.
All right, Ethan, over to you.
So I'm Ethan. I am a sophomore. This is my second year in JumboCast. I am the technical director here.
Technically.
Yeah, technically I am the technical director. That's a shout out to a former technical director, Bobby. I also write for the Daily. I cover golf there. I'm a huge basketball fan, big Celtics guy. Preseason starts tonight, guys. And I know, exciting stuff. And that's about it. Also an Eagles fan, so that's
I'll just chime in since I already introduced myself. I'm Alex Senior, president of the club. Also on the rowing team, so hopefully we can get you some rowing insight. I'd love to bring that to the radio.
Is that a sport, though?
Well, Head of the Charles in 2 weeks, so...
Are boats sport?
Go to Head of the Charles, and all those people there will probably tell you it's a sport.
We're here for hot takes.
We'll be covering the Head of the Charles. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I will be ready to talk about it.
Absolutely.
But also, in terms of what sports I like, I'm a big baseball, basketball fan, so Yankees, Celtics, UConn basketball... UConn's coming back, everyone. Dan Hurley will lead us back to relevance, so you heard it here first. Always.
All right, Owen, over to you.
Yeah, so my name is Owen Finnegan. I am the business director of JumboCast. This is my third year at JumboCast. Started in my first semester freshman year and just have stuck with it ever since. Also a proud member of WMFO.
Yeah, you want to plug your show right now?
Yeah, I'd love to plug my show right now. Tune into Entry Level Hipster Garbage every other Monday at 7 p.m.
Now, Owen, if I don't know anything about hipster garbage, does that preclude me from listening into the show?
No, see, it's entry level, so it's open to anybody. Yeah, 101.
That's always a big worry for me.
And now a proud member of, I guess what we're calling JumboCast Radio.
Are we just taking that from ESPN Radio? Is that the sort of envisioned vibe here?
I don't really know. I feel like
if you have any suggestions,
we should think of a better...
The viewers or the listeners have any suggestions, always feel free to contact us.
I've always been looking.
I've been looking
to launch the Charlie Driver Show for a while.
Charlie Driver Sports Talk Radio.
Yeah, in which I hijack.
Well, then it would just be called Drive Time, right?
Drive Time.
Yeah. No, but I have the Drive Time slot with my radio show because it's my turn to play. So I have at 7 a.m. on Tuesdays on your commute to work.
Oh,
you can tune in to 91.5 WMFO in Medford for Pop and Circumstance, an eclectic mix of pop, banter, and occasional 1960s and early 70s political satire. Which we have a very good collection. Have you seen the collection here?
No.
I played on Tuesday, which you can find on the WMFO.org website, an archival of that show. I played Lyndon Johnson's Lonely Hearts Club Band, which is an album of sort of interviews with political figures from 1967. Yes, Brad?
What a way to start your day.
Yeah. I did not know that existed, and I'm glad I do now.
So they take all these political figures. So there's like Ronald Reagan, Barry Goldwater, Lady Bird, Richard Nixon, and it was these two comedians interviewing them and then just took individual sound bites to have them say stupid things. It was okay. Not
that
as good.
Sounds kind of cool.
No, there's one here that we have, there's one here that we have that's... It's a radio play by the premier impersonator of LBJ and Richard Nixon of Richard Nixon's first day in the Oval Office, and it is honestly the funniest thing. It's so funny.
You play that on your show?
I have, yeah.
Wow.
No, you just gotta. I just pick random vinyl, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't.
Right. We've done that before.
Yeah. Not to go on too much of a tangent here, but there's some great audio of Lyndon B. Johnson. I'm sure you've heard it. Ordering pants and just. talking about things that wouldn't be appropriate
that's a very important thing for any president to do is order pants. I know when I go down to order pants, it's really a life and death situation for me.
Feel free to Google that, though. Lyndon Johnson ordering pants. Audio
after the show.
It is hilarious.
For anyone expecting Sports Talk Radio, I promise it's coming.
We're getting there.
You gotta build up.
Stick with us.
Is that my cue to jump us into the sports?
Absolutely.
So, Owen, I believe you are the first segment of the day in that you want to talk about some volleyball right now, and Tufts volleyball in particular, because we go to Tufts and we are Tufts student broadcasters.
We do go to Tufts, and this is WMFO 91.5 Tufts Student Radio.
Setting the record for most IHA station IDs in an hour.
Just making sure we cover all of our bases. But I love volleyball. It's the first sport I ever broadcasted and as a freshman, and then I sort of just fell in love with it from there, specifically Tufts volleyball. I think one of the more underrated, underratedly strong programs at Tufts. The Tufts volleyball has an illustrious history, dating back several years, which makes it surprising that right now, 13 games into the season, Tufts is sitting at 7-6, which is not.
Yeah, I mean, they most recently on Wednesday they lost to Wellesley, correct? And then on this weekend they lost to Endicott 3-1, which is not a result you would be expecting given the previous seasons of this team.
Yeah, we have had a good history against Endicott, so that was a surprising loss. I think so. The Bowdoin loss, I think, if you want one stat for this, is we had a home loss against Bowdoin, which is our first conference loss at home since, I believe, 2012. So my intern fact-checked that for me, so direct all inquiries to my intern if that's not correct. But I believe 2012 was our first home conference loss. So it's been a long time. We were 10-0 in conference play last year. But Bowdoin's a strong team, and it was a crazy game. I think, Ethan, you were directing
I was
that.
There. That was a game. We were up 2-1. And we just couldn't finish. We were up, I believe, 10-5 in the final set.
Yeah, right.
Five points away from winning it, and just couldn't hold on.
Yeah, Bowdoin went on a crazy run. I think the last set ended up being 15-12.
And so, what do you sort of ascribe this underperformance to?
Yeah, so there's one huge issue that I think is to be blamed, and I guess that would be the departure of Kelly Klimo, who transferred to, I think, Vanderbilt this year.
Villanova.
Villanova, thank you. Yeah. One of those V schools. But she was a fantastic libero.
You want to take a jump back and just explain to our listening audience the role of the libero?
Yeah, right. So they're easy to spot because they wear a different colored shirt. So it's sort of the first position that you learn. But they are sort of the defensive specialist. They get a ton of digs. They can play anywhere on the court. Thompson plays pretty defensively, defensive sets usually. So she was a huge part of the team, and I rarely remember her taking many substitutions last year. I'm trying to think, but yeah, she was a key component, obviously transferring this year. So Tufts actually only has one libero listed on the roster, and that's Madison Clay, who transferred here last year and had never played libero before. So right now they have Sophia Aker playing libero, and she's doing a great job, but it's such a difficult position, especially when you haven't played it your whole life, to learn. Mm-hmm. It's not like you can just pick it up. And I think that's sort of been a wrench in the Tufts system and has been sort of a tough aspect to figure out.
And so it's sort of, you've built this team around sort of a strong defensive core with both Klimo and sort of that backcourt defense, but now that you've sort of lost the linchpin there, the problem is that that's been more shaky, and that's the foundation of the team, or?
Yeah, I mean, it just changes the way you play. Like, Klimo saved so many points last year, which led to, first of all, much longer points that Tufts usually won. And just, like, leadership on the court, too, because the libero usually is calling out, like, mm-hmm. where the other team's looking and stuff. It's just like, it just changes the way you play again. And Cora Thompson's a great coach. There's zero doubt in my mind, I've been watching this team for a very long time, that they will figure this out and will have a very strong conference record. In fact, looking at the schedule now, I really don't think, I would be surprised if there is another loss. Next weekend, we're hosting Amherst and Trinity. I'll look at the NESCAC standings in a second, but I wouldn't be surprised if we went 9-1 in the conference, yeah, just because Cora Thompson is so good at figuring these types of things
and,
out.
And so do you think, obviously this is all pure speculation, but with a record that currently stands at 7-6, that's going to take sort of a lot to get an automatic bid to the NCAAs, right?
Yeah, it'll take a lot. I mean, it's a little bit, I don't want to say misleading, because so we lost to Wellesley. Wellesley's a great program, and they have been for a long time. And we took them to 5 sets, so that was a tough loss. But we also lost to Barry and Emory in an Emory tournament. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how heavily weighted those tournament games are in considering a D3.
Yeah.
So that's 2 losses to a tournament.
Also, like, considering, let's say Tufts loses in the semifinals or the final of the NESCAC tournament. If they can come out going into the tournament with a strong conference record against any sort of strong conference record against the NESCAC is always an indication that the team is better than the record may say.
Right.
Just because we're living in the strongest conference in pretty much all of D3. Mm-hmm. So that may, on its own, you would think, be enough potentially.
Yeah, I mean, it's early in the season, so it's hard to say. Yeah. I will say, I think next week will be a big indicator of that. Amherst is sitting at 2-0 in the conference and 9-0 overall. So they have an incredibly strong record. Mm-hmm. We're hosting them next Friday night. So I think our performance in that game will sort of dictate how the rest of the season, yeah, is going to go. And it'll sort of give you a better picture on how sort of those bids will go and how the rest of the NESCAC will sort of shake out. But again, looking at Bowdoin is 3-0 and 10-1 overall. So, I mean, like, you're losing to good teams, you know, with the exception of, yeah, I guess, Endicott is kind of a surprising loss. Even Johnson and Wales is kind of a surprising loss, too.
Mm-hmm. And that's the Are Amherst the Mammoths now? Is that their mascot?
Amherst are the Mammoths.
I just want to bring in some mascot discourse for a sec, just because.
If you're not familiar,
they
used to be the Lord Jeffs, which was
Jeffrey Amherst.
After Jeffrey Amherst, who was a controversial figure.
Slavery.
Lord, my name, Jeff.
Yeah, so they decided, the students voted on that very, very recently, I think a couple seasons ago.
Yeah, right? I think it was two years
ago.
Yeah.
They decided to change their mascot, and they had a vote, and the winning mascot was the Mammoth. So Amherst is now called the Mammoth. But I believe they were just...
Do they have a connection with Mammoths?
I think it was a student vote.
I think they just like how it sounded. It's not
as good. It's not as good as the UC Santa Cruz banana slugs. That's much better.
I think mascot.
Like you can just do. I think you can do better than the Mammoths. This is my time to trash talk Amherst.
right, but when they did decide to change the name for the Lord Jeff, so fun little factor, they were actually known as just the Amherst Purple and White for about a year, maybe a year and a half. Mm-hmm. Then they had the vote before, I believe, last fall season or last spring season. And
it's a page out of Syracuse's book.
Yeah, but the Syracuse orange works better.
Or the Cornell.
Yeah, you know.
Big red.
Yeah, but the beauty of the Syracuse orange is they can just be about the Dutch.
Or about the fruit.
Okay.
Is a fruit.
Speaking of orange mascots, this is jumping to professional sports now, but I need to have this conversation. Can I get everyone's thoughts on the new Philadelphia Flyers mascot, Gritty?
Oh yeah,
I have not seen this, so I'm going to look it up right now and give you my live reaction.
Weird. You gotta watch the sort of introductory video, unless you're trying to sleep at night.
I'm just gonna look at a picture for
what
now.
What in the world is that thing?
Yeah, so my God. So Gritty is a mascot according to the official.
Oh man!
According to the official bio released by the Philadelphia Flyers, construction on their new arena has awakened Gritty from the area under the stadium where he had been living dormant. And
why?
He's come up because he's been disturbed, and he has an abusive father. That is the official story.
Is that abusive
what?
Father?
Why?
I think the term is his father is a bully.
So
he's got an abusive dad in his backstory.
Are we gonna meet the dad? Like, are they gonna like bring him out onto the ice?
I hope not.
Like a halftime show.
I hope not.
I watched that.
I saw
for Gritty's sake they don't. I mean, God.
So he joins the Philadelphia mascot crew with the Fanatic.
Yes,
and now you just have a bunch of weird.
Yeah, but the Fanatic in a way is not nightmare fuel.
And the Fanatic is beloved and fun. Look this up. Google this right now. Unless you're driving, don't take your phone. But Google this right now. This is a scary looking mascot. He's got like these weird eyes.
He's also named. He's named Gritty because of the sports cliche. So his abusive father named him after one of the biggest hockey cliches around. I saw a great tweet that was someone took stock photos of like people in the woods and then sort of photoshopped Gritty in behind trees, and oh wow. It's a lot.
It did something.
If I have kids in the next few years, I'm not taking them to a Flyers game. That is confirmed.
Interview with Gritty the Mascot.
He made his debut in a preseason game and proceeded to slip on the ice. So he's just sort of skating around, and then you just see him lose footing and fall onto his back like when I go ice skating.
Gritty.
So yeah, that's great.
Like when I go ice skating, I don't even think I make it to the point where I could fall on my back. I just
you're walking from where you rented the skis to the ice rink and you fall over.
Grabbing the wall just all the way around. I'm kinda doing it.
Imagine if there is just you're a hockey player, right? You're really, really good with like the puck and like your stick, but you can't skate. So you play like left wall or something, and your whole position is just sort of slap shots holding onto the wall.
Play floor hockey.
Yeah, but there's no money in floor hockey like there is in the NHL. I assume there's money in the NHL. I really do not follow hockey. That's
hockey season is not quite there yet. Yeah. Really, not even the NHL. Definitely not with Tufts hockey. They start in the winter. They're not going to be one of the winter sports that we cover, but they'll be one of the winter sports that we talk about on the show. Because even though there are some limitations, the Tufts hockey rink that they play at is not really accessible to us, so we can't really do broadcast there. But yeah, it's definitely something that we'll keep track of and we'll be talking about on the show.
Brad, was that a tease? Did you just do a teaser?
Sure. Wow. Yeah. So if you, if you stick around for the next couple months,
quick learning curve here. Wow.
We're not kicked off the radio.
All right.
Should we jump back to volleyball? Do you have any final words sort of on that?
Yeah. Just like the second half of Tufts' schedule is just absolutely nuts. They have Hamilton and Williams this weekend, both away. So the drive from Hamilton to Williams, that is not fun. And then starting with October, they have a game.
I don't know if you have some nice road trip music.
Yeah, I mean, if you like driving, it's fun.
No, Hamilton. Hamilton's not.
Nothing about Hamilton.
My brother lives in Hamilton.
All right, Ethan, tell us more.
It's the lawless land of nowhere. It's kind of scary. I went to visit once.
Do you drive in and there's a large billboard as you enter into Hamilton, New York, that just says Hamilton, the lawless land of nowhere?
I mean, there should be. There wasn't. I stayed at a log cabin. I feared for my life.
You said a log?
Yes. So I stayed at a cabin in the woods.
It's like the Hateful Eight.
It was actually one of the most terrifying experiences.
And there's a NESCAC University there. Yeah.
Yes. There's a NESCAC institution.
It's a scary place.
Thanks.
I met a kid from Hamilton when I was visiting a friend studying abroad in Dublin this spring, and I was like, "How'd you like Hamilton?" And he was like, "There's just nothing there."
Not a whole lot.
Not a lot of sports talent either.
Hey, there's some great schools in the middle of nowhere.
No, I'm not trying to rag on the middle of nowhere as a concept here.
Back to the middle of somewhere, Medford, Massachusetts. Starting in October, UMass Boston. Those games are always a ton of fun to watch. UMass Boston has a great team. Then we have the weekend slate against Amherst and Trinity that I mentioned. Amherst is a really good team. Right after that's Middlebury. They're a really good team. Right after that's Springfield. Tufts loves playing Springfield. Those are always absolute battles, and we'll be covering that one, which is great. Day right after that is Babson at home. Babson's a really good team. They have a Babson-MIT doubleheader, and then finishing up with Cowan College and Wesleyan. So pretty much like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight games in a row that are super important in terms of like D3 standings and stuff. So it'll be interesting, you know, and good freshman. Like, just to give a shout out to some players, like Kate Dessler is playing great. Maddie Stewart's doing a great job in the captain role. So I do think volleyball will put it together, and I'm excited to see how they handle that really, really tough slate of games coming up.
They had a result from this week on the road against Wellesley. Did you want to talk about that one?
That's the most recent loss.
Right, we talked about it a little bit. Wellesley has some unbelievable players. The name's escaping me, but if I can get someone to fact check that for me, it's number 22.
Yasmin Reese, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, and so...
She had 24 and a half points on 22 kills in the game against
Tufts. Yeah, it was just nuts. It was a long game. I watched it. It was well fought, but Wellesley's just really, really good, and it was away, and Wellesley is a big volleyball school, so they had a huge crowd.
Non-conference as well, so you're not too heartbroken that they lost on the road to a really talented team in Wellesley, but a loss nonetheless, which drops them to 7-6 on the season.
Let's get a quick final verdict from you, or final word here, Owen, because we're going to throw this over to a PSA and a short break before we transition into football. But so you think that this is a team that can bounce back from sort of an underwhelming start to the season?
Yeah, I mean, again, if we beat Amherst next week, and we win against Hamilton and Williams, which I think we will, I do think that this team could win the NESCAC with ease. That's my final thought. That's
final word with Owen Finnegan here. Right. We're gonna do a little public education right now as we get a little reset. We got a new member on the team who we'll introduce to you after this. We're gonna do a PSA and I think a song. So stick with us.
This is the city where danger lurks. Today, a new creature walks among us, causing fear, mayhem, and injury.
Stay back, children.
Mommy, I'm scared.
Look out for the dreaded digital deadwalkers. They're not looking out for you. With faces pressed against their little handheld devices, they put all good citizens in harm's way.
Hey, pal. Pardon you.
The digital deadwalkers are multiplying. Until their behavior patterns can be modified, the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons warns all innocent people to stay alert. Better yet, to step up and speak out.
Oh, hey, dude, I'm walking here.
Sorry, I didn't see you.
A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who want to keep everyone well connected with healthy bones.
Tell me, baby, why do you seem so blue? Why are we so calm?
Charlie.
That was Sports by Beach Bunny, correct, Owen?
Yep.
And we are back. Welcome back to JumboCast Radio, tentatively named.
Speaking of sports.
Yeah, speaking of sports.
Let's talk about it.
And the chorus of that song is, I was never good at sports, which I think describes most of us pretty
well. Yes, I can confirm.
And that's why we cover
discounting
sports.
Discounting the collegiate athlete that is sitting to my right.
I'm not good at hand-eye coordination sports, which is like every sport but rowing, so I feel like I can join you guys.
Do you close your eyes while you row?
You can.
Because then you don't need to coordinate. It's just hand coordination.
Very easily could.
Yeah. All right. So we have a new member of the team joining us for this second half. You want to give yourself a quick introduction? Just position yourself towards the mic and speak.
All right. My name is Trevor Russo. I do commentary. I'm a director. I'm the social media director for JumboCast, and I'm excited to be on the first episode of JumboCast Radio.
Yeah, well, we're happy to have you.
Tentative.
Okay. I floated the Charlie Driver Hour, or the Charlie Driver Show, something like that. But
Charlie Driver Show featuring JumboCast.
We'll talk. Charlie and the JumboCasters. That's the band
Charlie
name. We're starting
casters.
A band too. Okay, so we're going to sort of spend most of this second half of the hour talking about the Tufts football team. Tomorrow is homecoming. It's homecoming weekend on campus here, getting up into the swing of things with a Neon Trees and Saba concert tonight in Carzo Cage, if anyone is interested. I'm not going to that, but I'm sure people are going to have fun. Again, if you have anything to contribute to the discourse on Tufts football, you can give us a call. Our number is 855-915-9636, 855-915-9636. The more you light up the board, the less I'll be able to talk, so that's probably best for everyone involved. So, Trevor, you were the play-by-play commentator on Saturday for our game against Wesleyan, our 16-13 victory against Wesleyan. You want to talk a little bit about that and sort of, well, actually, let's not go straight to that result. Let's talk about this team in the largest sense of things. Is this Tufts football team sort of living up to sort of the potential or the past or anything like that?
I mean, I didn't really cover the football team much my freshman year because I was playing rugby, but now that I have stopped that, I'm getting sort of a fresh perspective on this jumbo football team, and from what I've seen, it seems like they are a little different, especially in the first half, which we'll get to with this game. They seem to have had a different formula to what they had last year. Last year, it was a mediocre season, 5-4.
Yeah, I think it was perhaps a harsh 5-4. Mm-hmm. Being someone who's seen most of those games, that was a season in which a lot of sort of one-score games didn't go our way, in part because of silly mistakes and poor decision-making. But at the same time, like, that was coming off a season in which we finished tied for second in the NESCAC. So that's a big drop.
Mm-hmm. Right, so that season in which we tied for second was one of the best in a long time. For the Jumbos, that was also the senior year of running back Chance Brady, who was
one
the,
of, if not the greatest,
one of the greatest player. Jumbo football players, maybe one of the greatest Jumbo athletes to ever step foot on a field here. He was fantastic. He broke rushing records all over the place. And last year, we were pretty decent last year. I'd say that the 5-4 record does not reflect how Tufts Jumbos played football last year, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They were very strong on defense.
And I mean, this is a team that is built on defense.
Right, and that's why I think this year they're 2-0 right now. I think they're, if anything, outplaying any expectations that the Tufts fans and even the Tufts coaches have. I talked to Jay Civetti a few times, and I asked him about the defensive side of the ball and some of the players that they lost in this past offseason. Because I'll throw some names at you right now. Micah Atticus, Zach Thomas.
Yeah, that's basically the entire defensive line for the Jumbos
and Doug Harrison.
Yeah.
As well as some players in the secondary like JP Garcia. They lost a lot of defensive talent to graduating seniors.
Mm-hmm.
But they we'll go through the last two games, but they held Hamilton to only a safety, so no offensive points.
Yeah, and caveat, Hamilton not the traditional NESTEC powerhouse, but still holding anyone to a safety.
Right, but Hamilton, a team that in previous seasons we had been pretty evenly matched against, and we dominated them in week one, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And against Wesleyan, again, a really strong defensive performance. So on the defensive side of the ball especially, Tufts has outplayed any expectations for them.
Yeah. And then that sort of leads us in now to a discussion of the game that we saw on Saturday, because that was a game that was only a victory for Tufts because of the defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just doing a couple of quick math. That wasn't great English, but I did some quick math before I got on. The Jumbos, jumped out to that semi-big lead. Originally, they were up at the half 16-6 when they went into it.
Just to clarify, you're talking about the Wesleyan game.
Yeah, this is
this past Saturday, September 22nd.
Yeah, the Wesleyan game. So in the Wesleyan game, they were up 16-6. Wesleyan score with 3:30 left in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. But up to that point, all the momentum was really on the Jumbo
side. Yeah, because there was a two-drive span in the first quarter where the Jumbo scored their offensive touchdown that was built on a drive, and then I forget exactly who scored that first touchdown.
It says
first touchdown here, for the Jumbos.
Yeah,
yeah, past the tight end.
Oh, that was correct. That. And then proceeded to on the resulting kickoff, sort of a misplay by the Wesleyan kick returner, and good special teams from the Jumbos got them the ball within the red zone, and they converted on the next play on a seam route. And so that was a major swing that really was the entirety of the Jumbo's offense the entire game. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you saw one thing that stood out to me was, the week before against Hamilton, 29-2 victory. Ryan McDonald was getting it done with his legs, 4 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
98 yards. Yes, he was. Yards, yeah, that's tied the Tufts rushing record for touchdowns in a game, which is crazy for a quarterback, much less a rusher in general.
Mind you, a quarterback who was top 3 in the NESCAC in rushing last year.
I mean, he is still a quarterback, though. Which
right.
Is,
he was Tufts' leading rusher last year, he showed why in that first game against Hamilton. Scored 4 touchdowns, was...
But he didn't show that in the game against Wesleyan. Yeah. That was perhaps the most ineffective part of the Tufts' offense was McDonald, correct, or really anyone running the ball.
Yeah, no.
Correct, but he did make up for it with his passing, though, with... I'll get the exact numbers here. 172 yards through the air on 15 for 28 passing, with a couple touchdowns and an interception. And
a lot of those though were very much conservative play calling, I thought, for the entire evening, right, from Civetti.
Just a quick interjection. I just wanted to clarify for any confused listeners out there. We are listed as Jumobcast Radio.
Oh, no.
On the WMFO schedule, this is, in fact, Jumbocast Radio, not Jumobcast Radio.
That's actually our dance troupe.
If you were here waiting for Jumobcast Radio, I apologize. They're not going to be on today.
Oh, no. So
that could be the new game. That is the new name. Yeah.
That's
all tentative.
We're renaming our entire club, replacing all the merch.
That's Spring Fling Tanks 2019.
Yeah, welcome. This is, if you're listening to WMFO in Medford, Tufts Jumob Radio.
Yeah, so
I will email the programming director now to figure that out.
If you live in Medford, you probably have a decent knowledge of Tufts, maybe a little bit about our sports and about our mascot. We are the Tufts Jumbos. That is our mascot. We're named after a real elephant, and so our mascot is elephants or jumbos. And yeah, so that's what our club is named after. In case you didn't gather that from now, we're called Jumbocast because we cover the Tufts Jumbos. That's a typo.
Jumob is actually an elephant in a competing circus troupe. Oh, no. run by TP Barman.
Oh, God. Yeah, it doesn't get the respect it deserves.
Yeah, really forgot, lost in history. It was Jumob the elephant, also pushed another elephant off of some train tracks and sacrificed himself. And really, I just think we need to treat him with the respect that he deserves.
Of course.
Like we need to treat this Tufts football defense with the respect that they deserve, because in the second half of that football game this weekend against Wesleyan, the offense really was totally ineffectual. I think, Trevor, it was two first downs in the second half, correct? It was something. Yeah, two total first downs. So that's really... Wesleyan had the ball for basically the entirety of that second half, and they only came away with a touchdown. Mind you, part of that is that they missed two field goals, including a field goal that would have won them the game. Mm-hmm. If they had made both, they would have won the game. I can't do math. But that's because the Tufts defense was getting huge third down stops time and again, including in the red zone. And that was not what we were expecting for a team that, as you said, Brad, had so many departures at the end of last season.
Correct. And I'm looking at the drive summary right now in the third and fourth quarters. I'll go through the some of the Wesleyan drives. First drive early in the third quarter, a punt. The next one, a turnover on downs, a field goal attempt that they missed, another punt, and then another field goal attempt. So that's
it was not the most thrilling offensive performance by any means.
Not at all. And this is a strong offense on
I thought they were
on Wesleyan's side. They're led by senior quarterback Mark Piccirillo, who was held to under 200 yards and
had a lot of yards on the ground.
No touchdowns.
I think he had somewhere around a 100-yard rushing game on the ground.
Yeah, he looked really fast.
I think it was 78. Let me.
I mean, he had a run. He had a long gain of probably around 50, and was just kind of taking advantage of the fact that Tufts had clearly planned against him being a pocket passer.
Right. So Piccirillo went for 78 yards on the ground on 14 rushing attempts. I think that's inflated a little bit by the fact that he had a 39-yard run.
Mm-hmm.
So which is more than half of his, or actually exactly.
That was a very exciting play, though.
He was also getting, like, I think, yeah, it was inflated by that 39-yard run, but he also was consistently getting, like, 5 yards,
yeah,
4 yards.
Yeah, it was a sort of moment. He was really sort of moving the drive forward.
And plus, I think Glenn Smith, the running back, actually started to turn on the second half, too. He started getting those 4, 5, 6 yard carries that really was driving that offense down the
field. Let's sort of move in a second to previewing the next game. But first, Trevor, you've been wanting to talk about this for a long time. And I think you are vaguely aware of what I'm referencing here. You may not be. But this is specifically some of what you thought was very bizarre decision-making by the Wesleyan team when they were in the red zone and sort of deployment of the Wildcat in a lot of circumstances.
Yeah, they had, those of you who did not watch the game, my color guy, my color analyst and I, Lucas Pyle, we were both just shocked because they came out in the Wildcat on about the 2 or the 3 yard line with their punt returner David Estevez, who is admittedly a really good punt returner, in the shotgun. He took it in, I think, for a no gain. And then they went back to the Wildcat with the same exact formation, ran the same exact play, I think lost a yard.
Yeah.
And then on third down, instead of, handing the ball off to the best quarterback in the entire Nest
Yeah,
pack,
and this is a Wesleyan team that scored 52 points against Middlebury, which are one of they're generally on Tufts level given last season, and to hold them to just 13 points on one touchdown is a very, very strong defensive
and no passing touchdowns at that. Yeah. When their quarterback is an experienced senior, he's captain, he's a very strong quarterback, and he's historically done well, I believe, against he. In the overtime game that they had last year, Tufts lost in overtime at Wesleyan last year. I believe Piccirillo threw the game-winning touchdown. Not entirely sure about that.
Game-tying and game-winning.
That one went to overtime.
So I mean, this is a team for the past 3 years. We've played the week 2 night game against them. First one was 2 years ago. First ever night game at Ellis Oval, in which I believe Tufts won that one and then lost on the road. Yeah. Also a night game in Wesleyan, and then got their revenge.
Yeah,
this week.
It's very much a big sort of early season defining win for Tufts because it's an easy part of the schedule right now. Moving into this weekend and tomorrow's game, which is going to come against a Bates team that's 0-2 and just got shellacked against defending conference champion Trinity last Saturday, 59-16.
Does Bates still run the triple option? That was really weird to watch.
Have they been running the triple option? They ran it last year.
They always have. I talked to Coach about that. He said that was kind of a weird thing to game plan for in the game last year. which I believe I covered. I'll talk about that.
That
in
helps
a second.
My game prep because I'm calling that one tomorrow.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So they do run the triple threat, yeah. And with that offense last year, they went to 2-7, losing to the Jumbos in week. I believe it was also week 3 last year. And let's flash you back to that one, September 30th of 2017. It'll be almost a year ago to the date when these teams face tomorrow at LS Oval for the homecoming game for Tufts.
Yeah, and so this is also a Bobcat offense. No, sorry, it's a Bobcat offense that has 126 yards average per game.
Total offense?
Yeah, their total offensive average is 126 yards.
With 102 total offensive yards last week.
One of their
first downs.
They scored 16.
So their week one was not.
They scored 16 points, and 7 of those came on a pick six. So
also allowing. Just got a computer pull up here. 450 yards per game. So
that's about the same amount of yards per game that I allow.
And that's about consistent.
Or the New England Patriots.
And that's about consistent with what Tufts did to them last year. Ryan McDonald had a great game through the air. 21-36, 245 yards. 4 touchdowns, 3 of which to Jack Dolan, a now graduated wide receiver.
He's not graduated just yet. He'll be returning.
He was not part of the box scrub, but he is a senior now.
So his return will be an addition to the slot.
Absolutely.
For the Jumbos. But this is a Jumbos offense that's gained a new wide receiver in OJ Armstrong. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on discussing him right now, but he's a player that certainly shows a heavy amount of promise going forward here. Owen.
Just real quick, does anybody want to guess when the last year Bates had a winning record was? Does anybody want to guess that?
Because you're saying that, it sounds like
when were they founded?
2002.
When was Bates founded?
I have no idea when Bates was founded.
Add 10 to that.
1972.
Bates was founded in the year 1066 as part of the Norman conquest of England.
2012?
That's when I was born.
2012. I didn't know you were a Golden State fan.
Sorry. Do you mean 2014?
I'm a Rockets supporter. It's a bit of a sort of parental protestation.
Yeah, 2012. They were 5-3 in 2012.
The Golden State Warriors?
No. The Bates Bobcats.
They forfeited most of their games, actually.
That was famously when the season was called off because the EuroLeague was too big. All right, we're approaching the final 10 minutes of the show. This is Jumobcast Radio, soon to be known as Jumbocast Radio.
Jumbocast.
On WMFO in Medford. Charlie Driver, Trevor Russo, Owen Finnegan, Alec Whipple, Brad Schussel, and Ethan Zaharoni. Is it Zaharoni?
It is Zaharoni. Yes. Unlike my fantasy football team name.
Oh, no. All right. Should we talk briefly about our fantasy football team?
We have some homecoming games to go through, and I don't want to bring up some deep, deep sadness within me and Ethan right now. Although I got my first win against Alec, our GM, who has potentially the worst
Alex
team in the league.
Alec's team is not doing great.
The auto-draft legend.
A lot of teams get their first win.
I drafted 2 teams in 2 leagues, and one of them is doing well.
Alex's team is also allowing 450 yards of offense per game.
Yeah. All right, can we talk about how fantasy football is unfair because you have no control over what the other team can score?
You could have had control over your draft, but
I reject your reality and argue that fantasy football is funfair. Okay. Which is a deep, deep
I'll be silent. Reference.
It's depressing sometimes, but we like
defense.
This is a topic for another time.
So I'm not doing so good.
Yeah. All right. So going back, returning to real life, it's homecoming weekend.
Yay!
Just like the England football team at the World Cup this summer, it's coming home to the hill here in Medford.
Oh, but it didn't.
Summer.
Oh no.
No, it's always.
We're
going to
lose
home.
Our homecoming.
It's coming home.
You said that?
No, I cried. I cried. Tears were cried.
Really?
So it came home.
I was celebrating. I was in Ireland. I was having the time of my life.
And those penalties broke me. But I digress. A lot of fun stuff happening this weekend. There are 4 games on campus on Saturday. There's field hockey versus Amherst. That's over on the athletic fields at noon. Also at noon, kicking off at Kraft Field over by Ellis Oval, is the women's soccer game against Amherst. Women's soccer with a big overtime win earlier this week. And field hockey, actually, on a big roll. I think they're ranked number 3 in the nation right now.
I believe men's soccer will be playing as well.
Yeah, men's soccer.
That's at 2:30 versus Amherst.
Is the late kickoff. The traditional men's soccer Amherst homecoming game is at Bellow Field at 2:30. That's going to be a good one. Men's soccer rolling into that game 6-0, but Amherst, a traditional, very strong
7-0,
rival for them. 7-0. Oh, they won.
Yeah,
can
we talk about our soccer news a bit? Because they're both doing very well.
I'm not overly read up on them, but I know. So the men's soccer team is still undefeated, and they're coming off a decent run last year. Not necessarily what they had 2 years ago, but since they're on the every 2 year cycle, I think they're due this year for a national championship.
Yeah, two years ago, if you're not aware, we got to be part of a great D3 championship run by the men's soccer team. Mm-hmm. We covered, I believe, the quarterfinals before the final, the Elite Eight matchup here at Towson, which they won in a penalty or in overtime.
Correct, yeah, not in overtime.
In overtime. So the Tufts men's soccer, very good program. They're 7-0 right now. On the women's side, they are 6-1. And they're going into their match also against Amherst at noon tomorrow for the homecoming game.
Yeah, and so then the football game, which JumboCast is going to be broadcasting this weekend. That's our only broadcast. We'll be bringing you more as time goes on. But Lucas Pyle and I will be on the call for that at 1:30. That's at Ellis Oval, Zimmen Field. Get there early because it's going to fill up with a whole lot of tough students excited to see some sports.
And if you can't make it, make sure you go on our website, JumboCast.com. Go on YouTube and search JumboCast and subscribe to our channel.
Please
check out our Twitter and Facebook. Make sure to interact with us. We love interacting with our watchers and and listeners now.
Feel free to tweet mean things about me. It's very
absolutely
fun.
It's also tradition.
I just want to address some rumors here that we are actually undergoing some sort of staff turnover here at JumboCast. We've received some feedback, and we are going to be replacing the chess team contingent of our broadcast team.
I might have to leave now. Sorry.
Do you want to explain the backstory behind this?
We received a tweet during the football game last weekend that was critical of our balance and our reverse homerism. We try and do the best we can. Please
absolutely
give us feedback if you disagree.
We try to be unbiased here at JumboCast because I mean it's usually the other way around. I guess sometimes we overcompensate, but we usually try to temper our excitement because we are tough students. Mm-hmm. We're tough sports fans. We try to temper our excitement during the broadcast about tough sports and be a neutral, informative and good broadcasters.
And so that tweet ended with the current top trending hashtag on Twitter, which was hashtag replace the chess team, because Lucas and Trevor are also the Tufts chess team and they've been doing this for a long time, but it's become clear that they need to focus their efforts on the chessboard rather than on the commentary game. Do you have a comment in your final moment as a member of JumboCast, Trevor?
This is quite sudden. I didn't think
the way you wanted to go out.
Can I at least go down with a fight instead
no.
of with that one?
This is your moment. This is your last meal, except you're saying something on the radio.
Well, I'd like to say that I now know the pronunciation of it's Kevin Kisumbing.
Kisumbing.
So that's what I will go out.
Yeah,
with.
I had said Kisumbing in the past, I believe. So I apologize to Kevin for that. He's a player on Tufts football.
The comment of the week would be a good segment.
Oh yeah, no, please.
Maybe that's how we should. Maybe that's how we should end every show.
I think we should.
So definitely, if you want to get on that, tweet it. Don't try to be too outrageous, but
Gary.
Tweet at us. Comment on our YouTube streams. Comment on Facebook.
Do you think I look like Michael Cera? Let me know. One person said so, and I'm sure.
Have you gotten that a lot?
No, I got that once, but I don't.
I can see it a little.
No, that's a heavy.
A little. Michael
Cera
is not. Okay, Michael Cera is not.
Michael Cera both looks
he's not
like
the ugliest
the victim
person I've ever seen.
And the perpetrator of a crime.
Oh, man.
Can you write a daily op-ed about that? No, that's an Observer, actually. That's an Observer one.
What does Michael Cera look like this week?
Yeah,
find out on Ethan's
that's
call.
That's our poll of the day. There's also Sunday action this homecoming weekend. Field hockey plays Hamilton. That's at noon. Also at noon again, women's soccer versus Hamilton. And then men's soccer is playing Hamilton at 2:30 p.m. on Bellow Field. So that's an exciting 7 games late this weekend on campus. JumboCast doing the football game, so that's the one to prioritize, obviously because it's not about the sports, it's about us. that's our motto, right?
Of course.
JumboCast. JumboCast, not about the sports, about us.
It's actually action off campus, too, and this is when I'll give my little plug for the rowing team. We have our first race this weekend. It's called the Green Mountain Head in Vermont. So
you guys do that one every year, correct?
Do you go from the head to the feet?
Well,
is that the length?
The head race is typically you go mile and a half and do a turn and you come back a mile and a half.
Oh, so you're going head to feet and then back up.
essentially. I'll go more. I'm, you know, as a member of the rowing team, I don't want much from this show, but next week is, or in 2 weeks, we'll be ahead of the Charles time, so I'm going to hijack a bit of this show to talk about it. I'll spare you all today.
We will go in-depth into Alex's specific performance. Yes. We'll look at his boat, examine how and why it is his fault that they lost or didn't win by enough. And,
we'll be talking about the diameter of Alex's thighs. Are they big enough? Can he get enough power out of them?
Well, the thing about this weekend is it's all in small boats, so basically in rowing you have your eights with eight people, but you have your singles with one person, two oars, and that's all it is this weekend. So you'll know pretty clearly how I did after the race. Hopefully, I can bring back a good result to share.
So you said there is going to be some sculling in this one.
There's only sculling in this one,
right?
But yes, we'll have a rowing segment next time for Head of the Charles. I'm not going to take up your time.
Do you want to submit a title for your rowing segment?
I'll have to think on that one. Any suggestions, please email or call us. If you have anything you'd like to see on this show in general, by the way, I might have said this before, just let us know. I love comment of the week. I think we're going to have to do that.
Yeah. So generally, again, the way to reach us, we have social media. Our Twitter handle is @ToughsJumboCast. We have a Facebook account that's just JumboCast. If you just Google JumboCast, you'll track us down for sure. It's really not that hard. And it is Jumbo, J-U-M-B-O, not Jumob. That will be rectified before the next show. And if you're looking to become a regular listener of the JumboCast Radio Hour, or JumboCast Radio, I suppose, or whatever we end up calling it at the end of the day, we're not every week. We're going to do every other week, so you'll see us in 2 weeks for our special rowing heavy segment.
And hopefully we'll be posting these somewhere and we'll keep you up.
No, we've had some discussions with the athletics department, so we're going to sort of join under their umbrella a bit as we do, and become part of that circle. And
we should get AMAC to come in 2 weeks. He'd be funny to have on the show.
That's Tufts alumnus, Andrew McMillan, who was on the rowing team.
And so it'll be sort of a revolving slate of guests as well. It'll be more sports talk like this and sort of whatever we get up to. We're swinging into the final minutes now, so we're probably just going to sign off here. You're listening to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM. This is JumboCast Radio Hour. Let's just go around and do what we did, the station ID. Let's do a little JumboCast ID. Just say your name. Ethan, we'll start with you.
All right. Well, I'm just saying my name, Ethan.
Do you have a message? Do you want to say hi, Mom? Do you want to say bye?
Just real quick, I want to plug the golf team. The golf team has their NESCAC qualifiers this weekend, so good luck to them. They did qualify last year for the first time since the new format was instituted, and I hope they can finish top four again, compete in the spring.
Are we doing shameless plugs here while we're at it? Because I'm Brad Schussel. I'm on JumboCast, and I also write for the Daily. I write a weekly column on Thursday. So if you haven't picked up your copy of the Daily today, make sure to grab that from the dining hall or wherever you get your daily newspaper, and check out the coin toss. I make bold predictions every Thursday, and I made some NFL predictions this week. So make sure to check that out.
I'm Alec, again, president. Thank you so much for listening and supporting our club. I'll just plug JumboCast again. We really appreciate having this opportunity to talk to you all. And if you have any questions, our contact info is online. We'd love to hear more from you. So keep listening.
Yeah, I'm Owen Finnegan, running low on time. So again, just check us out, check out our socials, and keep listening to the broadcasts and the radio.
And I'm Trevor. I'm also the social media director, so I'm going to plug the social media stuff. I'll see if I can respond to you there.